6 through 8. This message is so heavy, I wish I knew a joke to tell about right now, and that kind of lighten things up. But it's not going to fit in, because I'm going to preach on World War III, and it's just not a joking matter, and it would be out of place. And let's look at it together. I think there's some things we need to know about the times we're living in and what the Bible has to say about it. And so let's turn to Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, the people of the world have been marching on a schedule, which I believe began on August 1st, 1914. August 1st, 1914 was the beginning of World War I. And World War I was the first great birth pang of the New World Order, which will produce the Antichrist. And in tonight's message, that's what we're going to look at, and that is the arrival of the Antichrist and the times that we're living in now that will produce his arrival. Once Antichrist comes on the scene, there will be 7 more years of tribulation. And at the end of that 7 years of tribulation will be the Battle of Armageddon, when all the countries of the world, all of the countries of the world, will be gathered by Antichrist to once and for all destroy Israel. And at that moment, that is when Jesus is going to come back. That'll be his physical second coming back to earth. But now, the times that we're living in now is the birth pangs, as a woman in travail, the Bible says. And we're living in that period of time right now, and that is going to culminate on a schedule known only to God. And so 1914 was the first great birth pang, and eventually that's going to result in the coming of Antichrist. There's World War II, and now we are in World War III since 9/11. Some say that the American invasion of Iraq was the beginning of World War III. It was the trigger that would set off World War III. I don't object to that. That might very well be. I set it back into 9/11 because I believe 9/11 was the event that brought us into the war on as allies with Israel against the Muslim nations. But nevertheless, either way, we're already in World War III. And this war could be a drawn-out affair over many years. We could have long periods of calm, and then that could be punctuated by periods of extreme violence, or the whole thing might just wrap up in a few days. I don't know what God's time schedule is, but we know this. We know the seasons that we're in, and the season is that we're living in the last days. Revelation 17 and verse 17, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will." Remember this. "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will." And as part of the last days, the Bible is telling us here even lost occultic people will unknowingly do God's will. Isn't that something? When you can get a hold of that, I'll tell you what, that will open up a lot of things for you that's happening today that you did not formally understand. Even the occult, who think that they're coming up with the idea of bringing forth their Masonic Christ. They call him the Masonic Christ. We call him the Antichrist as Christians. But they're working just as hard as they can towards that goal, that very goal. They're working to bring forth their Masonic Christ. Albert Pike was the world's leading Illuminati back in the 1860s and 70s. And he was also the highest ranking Freemason on earth at that period of time. He wrote the Morals and Dogma, which is a Bible according to the Masons. And by the way, a few weeks ago, I was in Washington, D.C. And I went by his statue. They have a statue of Albert Pike in Washington, D.C., just a few blocks from the Capitol building, about two blocks off of the mall area. Albert Pike is the only Confederate officer who has a statue on federal property. No other Confederate has a statue of himself on federal property. There are statues of Confederates, but it's not on federal property. Jesse Jackson passes that statue every day. And Jesse Jackson hadn't said one word about the removal of Albert Pike from federal property. You know why? Because Jesse Jackson's a Mason too. That's his leader there. He's not gonna remove him from federal property. Albert Pike had a vision on January 22nd, 1870. And he wrote down these things in a letter to a fellow Mason over in Italy. And that letter was in the British Museum up until the turn of the century, around 1900 and 1805 or something like that. It was removed. But in that letter, Albert Pike said that it would be necessary to have three world wars in order to bring forth the Masonic Christ. Now here's what to get into about examining occultic writings and occulting things. We know that the devil is a liar from the beginning. You have to be exceedingly careful here. And anything that doesn't match up with what the Bible says has to be discarded. Only what matches up with Scripture can be taken seriously. To an amazing degree, these things match right up with Scripture. It is amazing. Remember the Scripture in Revelation 17, verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will. God has put into evil men's hearts to fulfill His will unknowingly. And so Pike says there's going to be three world wars, each war more destructive. And that third war, out of the smoke and the destruction of that third war, is going to walk Antichrist. Here's what the Bible said. Remember our text, wars and rumors of wars. And it says nation against nation. One nation will get into a war with another nation, and then kingdoms of nations. Then all kinds of groups of nations will form around each side until the whole world's involved in war. And that's just what we have seen in history. One country getting in war with another country and then dragging the whole rest of the world into that war. And so supernatural forces are at work throughout the whole scenario here. And Satan men's believing it was their idea, but God was using them to do his will and to bring forth a new world order. The first war was designed to enable the czarist government of Russia to be overthrown. And the new government was to be atheistic and communistic. And Albert Pike wrote that in his letter in 1870, and the Russian Revolution happened in 1917. And the reason why the Russian Tsar had to be overthrown was that the Illuminati needed a base from which to operate and to undermine the other nations of the world and the other religions of the world. And so communist Russia was founded in 1917, one of the chief results of World War I. And by the way, Lenin, who established communism, was financed by Wall Street bankers. It's a fascinating story if you're interested in all of that, but communism was created by the West. And we've bailed them out at least once a decade ever since they were established. Communism is a failed system of government. They go broke about once every 10 years. We bail them out, keep them going. Because you see, the Illuminati, those people who are so wicked and so sold out to Satan, and by the way, the word Illuminati comes from the root word Lucifer. And it means light bearers. Light bearers. It means that these people think that they have supernatural knowledge, which the devil does give them great powers because they're sold out to Satan totally. But they believe they know best for everybody else. And they're going to lead the world into this new order, and everybody's going to be a lot better off because of it, and with their twisted demonic minds. World War II was foreseen in 1870 to begin with Great Britain and Germany, exactly like it did. Great Britain and Germany. However, one of the effects of this war was to strengthen Russia and to use it as a base to destroy other countries. And remember that Roosevelt gave Eastern Europe to Russia, which made them a superpower. Franklin Roosevelt was a Mason. Knowingly or unknowingly, doesn't matter which, Franklin Roosevelt was following the plan of Albert Pike to make Russia a superpower. World War III was seen in 1870 to be between Judaism or Israel and her Arab neighbors in the Middle East. And that war, of course, is going to spread to other nations, bringing them in. It's going to be a world war, although it's going to begin, the shooting part of it is going to begin in the Middle East. And it was soon spread to the entire world. And literally out of the smoke and out of the destruction of World War III will stride the Antichrist. What's going to produce Antichrist? War. The Bible says war. War and war and more war. And when you think back to the past 100 years, that's just about all the world has seen. We've already had World War I, we've had World War II, we're now in World War III. If you can pick any year since 1945, you want to. Just pick any year, 1957, 1973, 1970, whatever year you pick. There is an average of 40 wars going on throughout the world. Somewhere in the world is an average of 40 wars going on throughout the world. It's the birth pangs. War is the birth pangs of the Antichrist. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 3, for when they shall say peace and safety. Have you ever heard so much talk about peace? Everybody's wanting peace. Everybody's talking about peace. But we have war, just the opposite. What do they call the UN soldiers? Peacekeepers. They're just the opposite. Warmongers. For when they shall say peace and safety, and there's all kinds of talk about us being safe. Are we safe from terrorists? Are we safe? Will we ever be safe? And what the government says, give us your freedoms and then you'll be safe. We will make you safe. You're going to have to pay a price. You're going to have to give over your freedoms. But we can keep you safe if you do that. We'll make you a deal. Peace and safety. There's talk of peace and safety. Then, the Bible says, sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The Middle East is a tinderbox. Israel is building a security fence to separate the Jew from the Arab. And whenever the shooting starts between Israel and the Muslim world, unless God intervenes, that's going to be World War III. And during this time, within the context of this larger war, there's going to be other smaller wars taking place within the context of a bigger war. This, I believe, is going to be a time whenever Obadiah, in verses 15 through 18, is going to be fulfilled. Obadiah, verses 15 through 18, is going to be fulfilled here. During this period of time, whole populations are going to disappear during this next war. And also there is a scripture of Isaiah chapter 34, which tells us the same thing. The Palestinian people are going to be wiped out. I don't take any joy in saying that. I wish they'd all be saved myself. I wish they'd trust Christ as Savior myself. But that's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible says that Israel is going to annihilate the house of Esau. The house of Esau is a modern day Palestinian people. It says none of them will be left. Even now in Israel, there's talk about among the generals, and the generals of the Israeli army are saying, look, we have terrorism every day in our country. They're blowing up pizza parlors. They're blowing up buses. They're sniping at people. They're killing our people. We've tried to make peace with them. We've given them land. And yet it goes on. In the next war, we are going to eliminate the Palestinian people. That's when Obadiah is going to be fulfilled. I've been reading about HAARP. That's H-A-A-R-P. You might want to do a search on your computer and bring your lunch and you can read a lot of interesting things about HAARP. It stands for High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And it is an electromagnetic, basically, it is an electromagnetic pulse weapon. And don't think in terms of nuclear anymore. That is 60-year-old technology. Think in terms of electromagnetic weapons, because that's what this next war basically is going to be fought with. Keep in mind that Revelation, the book of the Revelation, says, and power was given him. Five times that those words are in Revelation. And power was given him. God has given to man knowledge and power formerly reserved only for himself. That does not mean that God is not still in control. God is still in control. He has the ultimate say. But God has given man powers in these last days unlike anything man has ever conceived of. God-like powers. Electromagnetic weapons which work by sending out billions of watts of radio frequencies concentrated to any point on Earth by bouncing off the ionosphere. It's a reversal of radio of the radio telescope. It works in reverse of that. I read the book a number of years ago, Angels Don't Play This Harp, by Nick Begridge, Dr. Nick Begridge. It gives the military a tool to replace, number one, the electromagnetic pulse effect of atmospheric thermonuclear devices. Number two, it can find and destroy enemy submarines. Number three, it provides a way to knock out communications over an area the size, one quarter of the size of the United States, at the speed of light. It can bring down enemy planes and missiles as soon as they are launched. It can change weather patterns, create hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, move the jet stream, bombard human minds so that they change their thoughts with low levels of radio frequencies, create a nuclear-sized explosion anywhere on Earth without the radiation, project holograms in the sky, all from Gakona, Alaska, where there are 360 antennas in a remote part of Alaska. Scalar weapons, that's S-C-A-L-A-R, scalar. I had never heard of scalar weapons until recently. Did not know they existed. Look it up on the internet, just type in scalar weapons. What the Illuminati has done with all this, they have put this on the internet, and their method is to hide things in plain sight. There is so much reading throughout the internet on this that the average person won't know what's going on. It's like an overload of information. Scalar weapons, which is the outgrowth of TELSA technology. TELSA was a man who lived in the time of Edison and died in 1943. And here's the most shocking news. According to Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Bearden, and he's also a physicist, and he's retired, he wrote a book called Fertilance, updated in 2002. I'm going to make a quote from Dr. Bearden. We have ground-based radars, endostratospheric interceptors, exostratospheric interceptors, airborne sensors, space-based sensors, chemically propelled interceptors, electromagnetic railguns, particle beam weapons, high-energy lasers, all tied together with a massive command and control system. Electromagnetic marvels, nuclear-pumped lasers of staggering power, perhaps even X-ray and gamma-ray lasers, directed energy radio frequency weapons, stupendous rail guns, sensors everywhere, giant webs of communication, and it is totally vulnerable to scalar electromagnetic weapons. They can simply sweep through that like a scythe through hay. He goes on to say that America is working on the first generation scalar weapon. And the scalar weapon is superior to the HAARP. And the Russians have the third generation scalar weapons. According to Dr. Bearden, Russia is the most powerful nation on earth tonight. I can remember watching old Gorbachev, and I can remember watching what's the guy's name that was before him, Khrushchev, 1960, take his shoe off of the United Nations. And he was talking to the representative from the United States, and he took his shoe off. Khrushchev did. And he beat, and he pounded on his table. And he said, "We will bury you." The Americans thought that he was blowing smoke back then. At that time, America did not know that scalar weapons even existed. That was 45 years ago. And the Russians had them 45 years ago. They were in the first generation of scalar weapons 45 years ago. And you, by this time, you might be saying, "Well, why did not Russia use that to dominate the whole earth?" Because of God. God has a specific purpose for Russia. God's got a plan for Russia. Russia fits into the end time scenario because of God. Nothing stopped them but God. They were far, far advanced. They used the scalar weapons to sink the U.S. submarine Thresher in 1963. And it's believed that they used the scalar weapons to bring down the Challenger. America's working on first generation scalar weapons. Russia has a third generation. China and Israel also have scalar weapons, and possibly France also. Joel 2 and verse 30 says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens, and in the earth blood and fire, and pillars of smoke." Sounds like a nuclear war to me. America now involved in the war in Iraq. And if we move against Iran, which in the Bible is called Persia, we will be stopped cold by Ezekiel 38 and 39. And here's why. The country of Iran is allied with Russia, and Russia's scalar weapons is backing up Iran. And so if America invades Iran, we're going to be run right square into Russia. And Ezekiel 38 and 39 would not take place, and that's not going to happen. It's going to take place just as God said, and Iran and Russia are allies, just as Ezekiel 38 says, and they're going to invade Israel one day, just as the Bible says in Ezekiel. And so, likewise, I believe that God has reserved the destruction of Damascus, Syria, in Isaiah 17 and verse 1 to Israel. Israel is going to use her scalar weapons to defeat the great masses. Now, isn't this something? 270 million Arabs surround Israel. I looked at a map just a couple of days ago. I looked at a map, and how that Israel has given back the West Bank, and they built that security fence. Now you can drive all the way across Israel in less than 15 minutes. You can't defend something like that. Anybody who's a Any military man is going to say to you, you can't defend a country you can drive across in 15 minutes. But Israel's going to use these scalar weapons of hers. And the Bible says of Damascus in Isaiah 17 and verse 1, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Along with all this terror, along with all this war, which is going to take place at some point along the line, terrorism in our cities will increase. A terror war is a natural outgrowth of an enemy that's overpowered by conventional forces. When you overpower someone in war, what they turn to is terrorist tactics, and so that will be going on. And the Bible paints a picture here of world war going on, earthquakes going on, pestilence or disease going on, terrorism in our cities going on, and their hearts failing them for fear. Now, can you understand that scripture? And their hearts failing them for fear. And so, at some point before the Antichrist comes on the scene, the rapture is going to occur. Did you know that the Illuminati believes in the rapture? That's right. People in occult circles and people in demonic circles who've sold themselves out to Satan and who are striving so hard to bring forth their Masonic Christ, they don't call it the rapture. They believe that you and I are going to be taken away. And here's what Albert Pike saw in 1870. He saw Israel, or he saw the Jew. And by the way, he was looking at a war before Israel was ever brought back to being a nation. Israel was not a nation in 1870. Israel didn't become a nation until 1948. And so he was looking at a time when the Jew would be back in the land. And the Jew would be involved with a war with the Arabs. Now, the Arabs are monotheistic. They believe in Allah. They have a fanatical belief in Allah. And it's hard for us to conceive how fanatical these people are. Well, what about the Jew? The Jew is monotheistic. What about the Christian fundamentalists? We're monotheistic. So all these monotheistic people have gotten to be, they have to be gotten rid of according to the Illuminati, because they're not going to accept their new Masonic Christ coming on the scene. And so Albert Pike envisioned that the Jew and the Arab would destroy each other in this great war that's coming. And they envisioned that the Christians would be taken out of this world and re-educated and come back in reincarnation hundreds of years later. Truly, we're living in perilous times. Are you ready for Jesus to come? He might come tonight for all I know. I'm telling you, this thing's getting close. It's getting close. Are you ready spiritually? Are you ready mentally? I believe we're going to see some birth pangs. I believe we're going to see some serious things happen before Jesus comes. Are you ready for that? If not, you can be. Ask God for strength and power, and live each day like this would be your last. It might be. Live each day like this would be your last. Well, I'm going to draw for you right now, and I'm going to draw what it, symbolically what it might look like, at least, this great war that is, we're involved in the beginnings of it now, and it's going to keep on developing and keep on developing. But out of all of this conflict and out of all the strife and out of all the death and out of all the destruction that's coming, then out of all of that strides a man. A man unlike other men. Totally possessed of Satan. Satan's man, the Antichrist. And God will use him. He will use him as an instrument. And after he's used the Antichrist, he will destroy the Antichrist. And so I'm going to draw this for you right now, Charlie. Let's have the lights out, please. Thank you. stand together, please. Every head bowed tonight, every eye closed, just for a while here.